Mantra Mohan ಬಹುತೆ ಪರಿಚರ್ಯ ಭವತ ಯಾವತ್ಯ ಪೂರ್ವ ಸೇವಿತಾ ತಾಮಂತ್ರ ಹೃದೇನೈವ ಪ್ರಯುಂಜಾನ್ ಮಂತ್ರಮೂರ್ತೆ.
Paricharya,
Paricharya,
service, Bhagavata,
Bhagavata,
of the personality of Godhead,
Yavatya,
as they are prescribed,
Purva Sevita,
recommended by previous acharyas,
Ta, that mantra,
Hridayena, in the heart,
Eva, certainly.
Prayunjan,
one should worship
Mantramurtaye,
who is non-different from the mantra.
Translation: one should follow in the footsteps of previous devotees regarding how to worship the Supreme Lord with the prescribed paraphernalia, or one should offer worship within the heart by reciting the mantra to the personality of Godhead, who is non-different from the mantra. Reports recommend here that even if one cannot arrange to worship the forms of the Lord with all recommended paraphernalia, one can simply think about the form of the Lord and mentally offer everything recommended in the shastras, including flowers, chandan bulb, conch shell, umbrella, fan, and chamara. One can meditate upon offering and chant the 12-syllable mantra Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Since the mantra and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are non-different, one can worship the form of the Lord with the mantra in the absence of physical paraphernalia. The story of the Brahmin who worshipped the Lord within his mind, as related to Bhakti Rasa Medicine and after devotion, should be consulted in this connection. If paraphernalia is not physically present, one can think of the items and offer them to the deity by chanting the mantra. Such are the liberal and potent facilities in the process of devotional service. Translation: one should follow in the footsteps of previous devotees regarding how to worship the Supreme Lord with the prescribed paraphernalia, or one should offer worship within the heart by reciting the mantra of the personality of Godhead, who is non-different from the mantra. So here again there's emphasis upon the mantra, which is non-different from the Lord. One should worship the Lord using mantra, because the mantra and the Lord are not different. So we have to approach the Lord somehow. So here the process of worship is through sound, through the mantra. So by chanting that mantra, we connect with the Supreme Lord and worship Him. Now this, of course, is also one of the aspects of deity worship. Offer items to the Lord, but we also use the mantra to offer the different items. However, as Prabhupada has explained in the purport, even without the items or the deity, one can also worship the Lord internally using the mantra. So we don't have to do the external worship at all, we simply have to do the internal worship. Of course, usually we see that the external worship is also there. But in deity worship itself, both methods are prescribed. There is the manasa puja internally, and then later the external worship. However, the Hari Bhakti Vilas explains that even if the external worship is not done, at least the internal worship should be done. So one should do the manasa puja, and that is sufficient. In the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami, when he explains the angas of bhakti, he goes through the different items like offering obeisances, following after the deities, and seeing the deity, observing festivals, hearing, etc. So among the different items we have smaranam and then jhana, meditation. So in relation to meditation, then he tells the story of the brahmana. So dhyana, of course, means to concentrate the mind continuously. So one can use that dhyana not to only meditate on the form of the Lord, but of course in the previous verse it was mentioned the pastimes of the Lord. Also, one can meditate on one's service to the Lord. So therefore, one can worship the deity in the mind. And this is a type of jhana, or meditation. So therefore, he tells the story of the Brahmana. The Brahmana was very poor, and he did not have enough money to worship a deity properly. So he lamented over that situation. Then one day he heard a lecture in which somebody was explaining that actually if you don't have the proper items for worship, you can still worship using the mind. And it is as good as offering the items. You meditate in your mind on offering the items, and the same effect is there. The Lord is pleased by that. So then he thought about that and he became very happy, because he said, I don't have the items externally, I don't have the money to buy all these things, but I can do the worship internally. So he became very happy. So he went down to the river and he bathed and put on his cloth again, and then he sat down and he began to meditate. So in his meditation, then he began serving the Lord. So he got nice pots made out of gold and jewels and silver, and he went to all the sacred tirthas, and he got all the water from all the different tirthas, and he got all the paraphernalia for the worship together, different types of things made out of very valuable items. And then he began to worship the Lord in meditation with all these different items, one thing after the other, according to the regular procedure that is done externally. He did all this in his mind, and he was very excited about this. So he was worshipping the Lord with the different items. And because it is in the mind, he can bring any item from anywhere. So he got the best items from everywhere, and he was offering all these things to the Lord. And he was very pleased with this. Until it came time to make the Naivedyam. So there are different offerings. There are 16 items, basic items such as asana and padyam and arkyam and madhuparka, bath, and cloth, offering cloth and ornaments and thread and chanda and flowers and dupa and deepa. And then finally comes Naivedyam. That is the food offering just before the end of the worship. So then he thought, well, I have to make some offering to the Lord. So then he thought he would, in meditation, he would prepare some offering of sweet rice. So he boiled up the milk in his meditation and put the rice in, and he was cooking it down, and he put the sugar in, etc. And he made the sweet properly. And then he had to carry it to offer to the deity. So he was carrying it, but in carrying it, somehow he accidentally put his thumb into the sweet rice. It got burned in meditation. So when it got burnt, then suddenly he came out of his meditation. And he looked at his thumb and it was burned, actually burned. So he was a little disappointed. But the explanation is that actually the Supreme Lord was watching, and he was laughing with Lakshmi, and he said, this Brahmana, he actually is so devoted that he deserves to go to Vaikuntha because of his fixed meditation on the worship. So the story goes to prove that the Supreme Lord is pleased with the offering, even if it is only done in the mind. And in this case, the Brahmana went to Vaikuntha because of the pleasure of the Lord. So therefore, even without the items, the actual items, one can also do the worship in the mind, and the Lord can also be pleased. So therefore, in this way, the process of worship is a little flexible. Of course, it is usually recommended that if one has deities, then one should do the external worship as well as the internal worship, not to say, I'll do the internal worship for the Lord. So with whatever one items one has, one externally engages in the worship. So this is one of the functions of deity worship, to engage all the different senses, not just the mind. so by performing deity worship, a person who has uncontrolled mind can control the senses by using those senses to serve the Lord in various ways. So, therefore, the both processes of worship are there, the internal worship and the external worship. So in the temples, of course, established temples, both processes must go on. We cannot simply do internal worship and neglect the deity. We have to do that. Privately, of course, one can just do internal worship without having an external deity. But one can also have a deity and do the external worship and do the internal worship as well. But as Hari Bhakti Vilas says, actually, the external worship without the internal worship also is useless. So one actually has to do both if one has external deities. But if one doesn't have a deity, then one can only do the internal worship alone, and that also is sufficient. So that shows the power of that internal worship or meditation. So, therefore, here Narada Muni is explaining the whole process, and we see that Dhruva actually was able to do both. He followed the instructions of Narada Muni, and he did the external worship by making a form of the Lord out of clay, and he began worshipping that. But he also did the internal worship, according to the instructions of the Lord. And we will see his great power, because he was able to control the mind very strictly. He used the mantra and he was able to concentrate upon the Supreme Lord. So much so that he controlled breathing, he controlled his eating process, he controlled drinking water, everything. And at a certain stage, when he simply touched his foot on the ground, the whole earth moved because of the power that he invoked by his meditation. So he was able to ultimately control the whole universe simply by his meditation on the Lord. Therefore the process of meditating on the Lord is important. So we should not forget here that the meditation is combined with the mantra. And the mantra is, as said previously, meditation on the Supreme Lord. The mantra was Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So he used that mantra, and this is how he got his perfection.
Perfection, as you are mentioning, so Prabhupada says perfection has no end in Krishna consciousness. And then we see that there are Uttamas, Madhavas, and Kanishtas also. So how do we understand?
What is that? There's no?
In Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm. What's the question?
About perfection, it's a point of ananda only.
Well, perfection is prema. There is sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. So we do sadhana bhakti, and prema bhakti is the result. It's also bhakti, same activities, but that is the perfection of the bhakti. Now the bhakti is sadhana, and there is some impurities. So by doing the process, then the impurities disappear, and one gets perfection in prema. So one goes through different stages, and therefore we can say some are at the beginning, some are in the middle, and some are at the perfect stage.
Maybe we should person devotees perform puja, it's a personal initiative. Basically we listen to that and all the question is in the Golok Vrindavan, all devotees don't be in this camp, Mother Isha that is.
Oh, well, they are all serving in some form or other. They may not personally dress Krishna. Of course, in the Leela of Brahma Mohan, they actually got to personally serve Krishna, because Krishna became all the cowherd boys for all the different mothers and whatever. So they normally don't do that. Nevertheless, they also help Mother Yasoda, and they identify with her, so they get satisfaction from that. Well, they are usually temporary forms, so it's not usually recommended as a permanent form or a temple form, because it is breakable or whatever. So Usually those are forms in which one installs the deity temporarily during the festival, and then afterwards one tells the deity to leave. It's called Visarjana, as we see with the Ganesh deities, and they throw them in the river or whatever, or the ocean or whatever afterwards. So those are temporary forms. So usually the clay ones are not considered to be very good for permanent worship because they're so fragile. Well, the form is non-different from Krishna, obviously, after it's installed. So if one is attached to the deity and it's non-different from Krishna, then fine, the same as attachment to Krishna. So it is a method of identifying and understanding the form of the Supreme Lord. We have descriptions in the scripture of the form of the Lord, then we have the deity form. So instead of words, we have visual form of the Lord, and we can concentrate on that. And we can use that in meditation also. Plus we can also serve directly with our various senses. Yeah, the deity, if one can see the deity directly as the Lord, then that is perfection, it's non-different.
A question regarding one-state seva and external seva. Even during the external seva, everything arises from the mind. The mind is the sum of one of all the thoughts arising. Only I just think that I should say, the mind dictates and we do it. How we can differentiate it?
Well, external service means we're also engaged the senses, so we do have the hands and the feet and the eyes and the nose and all these things. So we offer different items using the hand or whatever. So if we offer incense, we have to use the hand. So we're engaging the body. If we offer naivedya, we may have to cook it and then offer it. So we're using the external body. But that is the difference. Engaged there also, it's engaged in everything, but we're also engaging the hands and feet, etc. Whereas if it's only manasik, we don't. That's the difference. So some people don't have very strong minds. So if they engage the hands and feet, it's easier for them. It's more difficult for them to simply use the mind. Well, they're not so important as the namaparads. Namaparads are more serious. Sevaparads are not usually committed intentionally. They're more or less accidental. They don't have that much effect. They create some obstacle, obviously, but the namaparads, especially the Vaishnavaparads, have much more serious effect. Yeah, of course there are specific seva aparads mentioned there in the scriptures, such as walking in the deity room with your shoes on, etc. Different things like that. There are specific items, touching the deity in an unclean state, etc. All these different aparads are there. So there are specific aparads concerning the deity. Usually the devotees will not commit those aparads intentionally, maybe accidentally or something may happen, but usually not intentionally. Yeah, that's there. But of course, we also know that Krishna accepts the devotion. So even if you have the cleanest items and you don't have devotion, Krishna doesn't accept it. And of course, cleanliness is just different standards. Obviously, we have to be careful, but then how clean is clean? Nothing is absolutely clean. There's always some, you know, you can always find some defect somewhere. So it's only a matter of relativity, you understand. So we have some basic standards. And it's a material world, so we can't have purity, even if a substrate is contaminated. So material purity ultimately is not there. Yeah, so relatively speaking, we have standards, and we cannot be careless, but at the same time, no matter how clean it is, still, it's material, isn't it? Everything in the material world is material. So ultimately, the main point is the devotion. And devotion has to be there. And we have standards of cleanliness, obviously. But the devotion also is important. It's with the devotion that the item is actually offered.
The whole
process of any of the items of bhakti, including deity worship, is we're practicing the devotion. We're practicing devotion to the Lord. That's what it is.
I'm very excited because they attach the deities to serving. Some like a person deity and they always believe the deity is like not shade other deities.
Well, that's a little bit of a problem because then it looks material because all forms of the Lord are the Lord. So to say that this is the Lord and that's not the Lord, that's a rather sectarian or limited vision. So the devotee who has taste actually will appreciate the Lord anywhere in any form.
We want to discuss, we cleanse all the cleanliness and the body. Is there any possible cleansing the mind also?
Yeah, the pranayama helps, meditation helps, bhutasuddhi helps, all the different processes are there.
The picture becomes too old, the picture.
Well, if you're worshipping a picture, if it's installed, most people don't install pictures, but if it's installed then it's actually like a deity. If it becomes old and worn out, then it's a problem. Then you have to get a new picture, and then you'd have to reinstall the deity. Of course, if you don't install it in the first place, then there's no procedure for that. If you install the deity, the deity can be a painting, and then you have to go through the procedure of installing it properly also to make it into a deity. Huh? Pictures of installed deities. Well, as far as we say, like a picture. So, if you want to install it, fine. But otherwise, then we don't consider it the same as the installed deity.
Usually, how do?
Otherwise, then you're going to have arti every day and put curtains on it and close it up at night and whatever. Do the same process, which most people don't do.
How should we dispose of this old pictures? Because we think that it's Krishna, Prabhupada's pictures. But so many of them are there old and lying down, without able to destroy.
I guess we can throw them in the ocean or something. I suppose so. I don't know, I haven't seen any scriptural video on that, rule on that.
Sometimes they have an idea. Somebody is wearing native pictures on their mind, t-shirts, they would have all different places.
Yeah, that is a little bit of a problem, of course. But then again, it's not installed, so it's a little bit different. It's not actually the Lord, because it's not installed. Yeah, so but of course it's not exactly the same as the Lord, but nevertheless we should respect. In some sense, yes, I would suppose. But as I said, it's not exactly the same as non-different from the Lord in the sense of the deities. Just like we have the books and the name also, the holy name printed on different things, and books also, so we cannot really prevent what happens to the books sometimes. You distribute the books, people may throw them in the garbage. What are we going to do? As they often do in America and other countries. You distribute the books and they find them in the dustbins, in the garbage can, whatever. So then technically that would be Vaishnava aparadha or Seva aparadha or whatever. We're offending the deities by doing so or preaching to the faceless. So what to do?
Yeah,
as much as possible we should prevent that.
Sometimes in America, even my Prachin book, one came back from 10th floor to buy the book. In Mayapur course, there was one Prabhu he was distributing books, and one person, he just saw the book and came back from the tent room to buy the book again.
Mm-hmm.
And there is also an instance in New Vrindavan that after 10 years, one read from the shelf of the Bhagavatam.
Yeah. In that case, they weren't destroyed or thrown in the garbage. But that may happen also, so we can't really prevent that, but as much as possible we try to respect the books, pictures, name. They may also, they may throw the Prajadam away also, we can't prevent that.
Second four parts.